is forbidden. That's one. And the reason why it's forbidden is that every image is an insult. No, it's not as if he's afraid of carving or artwork. It's just that what would the artwork say? What would the image say? They can't say anything about him. Therefore, it's forbidden. They're only going to distract you. They give you an inferior glory to behold. And God said that those who worship them become like them. They have eyes they can't see. What will happen is that God has given you eyes, but you will not be able to perceive the matters of life because you are worshiping images. What am I saying? God is not afraid of images. The reason why he said don't make them is because, one, they don't represent him well, and they put your eyes on a different place, therefore short, making you very far short of the glory of God, more than your iniquity could have done. You follow what I'm saying? Now, how therefore do we describe God for people? The reason why currently we are 6-something billion people on the earth, and many people have lived and died, all right? More than maybe 15 billion people have lived on this earth. I don't know the exact number. Each person is supposed to describe a part of God. That's what I keep saying. The only way you can paint a total picture of God, you know this, what they call these mosaic images. You've seen them, pictures. That is, from a distance you can see maybe, there are some there in Cosmo, quite a lot of them. You see Bob Marley from a distance. When you go closer, every dreadlock, every lock on his head, you see there are dark pictures. You know, you look at his eyes that look like white from distance. You go closer, you see they're actually pictures. Now, the only way we can describe God, all right, is when each one of us paint our own picture. When we put the pictures together, then God is described. Are you getting my point? That is, there's a part of God which there's only one person on this earth that can describe, and that person is called Banky. If I don't describe him, nobody will be able to. Now, I don't mean describing him by mouth. Say, praise the Lord. Have you all come? Amen. Ha. Today, I want to tell you about Jehovah Shekinu. Everybody say Shekinu. Now, this is how you spell Shekinu. God has formed my mouth to be able to pronounce Shekinu. Sounds funny. There's a man I know, honestly. He said his mouth, he was born, his mouth was specially formed to pronounce the hidden name of God. I'm telling you, I don't want to give you details. People do things like that. So that's not what I mean. I mean that by the time I would have lived, maybe I live 110 years. All right? Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Are you getting my point? All right? Now, when I will have finished the work of God for my life and I will have departed, then they will now look, say, you know of Banky. Then stories will be told about his life. And those stories are the descriptions, are you getting what I'm saying, of a part of God. Listen, every time you exalt God in your life, you naturally draw people. Did you hear what I said? You naturally draw people towards him. Then when they come, you begin to declare that which you know. And that is what is called preaching. Listen, let me explain something. You don't need to study, you know, those when we're young. Life is in phases, amen? When we want to go for evangelism on campus, you will go and cram the verses. Listen, I hope you know that if a man is an unbeliever, the Bible is no authority in his life. Do you get what I'm saying? If a man is not a Christian, you can't quote the Bible. It doesn't make sense. He said, Isaiah said, that is folk tale. That was written by Steven Spielberg about 1700 years ago. According to Jeremiah, who's Jeremiah? Is it not one guy that the Jews invented? Listen to me, the scriptures, the Bible you carry, they are not authorities in his life. The chapters and verses you are quoting, he doesn't accept them. I hope you get my point. You can't tell a man who doesn't believe in your God to tell him that God said to Jeremiah that he's a witch God. God does not exist. Let me quickly just say this, all right, before I leave that. What convicts a man is not your words, all right? It's the job of the Holy Spirit. I just need to say that quickly. All right? Because that's why, don't be... See, a man came to see me once from Mocha. I never forgot that. I sat here. Our hall was much smaller then. I sat somewhere around here. And he spoke with me. And he said that he never believed in God until he heard me preach on radio. Now, ask me forever what I said that persuaded him. I don't know. You know, I don't pray to those who don't believe in God. I don't. Yet the man heard me preach, and that was when he finally believed that indeed there is a God in heaven. Please, I hope you have heard what I'm saying. Now, let me get back to what I was saying earlier. So you see, it is not, you want to preach to somebody, it's not about quoting all the scriptures. Are you getting my point? No, it's not. Because the scriptures are not an authority in his life. They are not. What are you supposed to do is simple. Let me put it simply. You just speak that you are persuaded concerning and give the... Now, see, this is what is important. For example, people tell me something, look, like, what about the future of your children? The way I answer you, you know I believe something. Are you not saving up so that you can... The way I will tell you about my persuasion concerning tomorrow, you know I believe something. There are times, maybe somebody that will help, talking about marriage and all of that, I will tell you how I am certain that God ordained and appointed the woman I married. You know I believe something. I don't have to quote the scripture for you. The scripture is for me. When I'm talking to you, I'm speaking to you that which my hands have handled. If I tell you how I arrived in Enugu, you know I believe something. If I tell you how I've never been tempted to relocate from Nigeria to another country because money is easier, you will know I believe something. Mike Mundock said, if your friends don't know your, they don't know your obsession, you don't have one. That if your friends can't tell what is pushing you, nothing is pushing you. That is, what it means is that there's nothing that is really, that's important in your life if your friends don't know. Because if indeed you have something that was important in your life, the people around you will know. They will know. I remember once, my mother passed a comment. Before she finished, I gave an answer. I said, Archbishop, that was what I said. They said, I know that's what you say. I said, at least you know that's what I will say. I'm happy I did not disappoint you. Are you getting what I'm saying? If your friends don't know what you will say, you don't say anything. That's what it means. Are you getting my point? There are those that are known for their bad works. Olainka was just saying yesterday that there's one guy he knows. Don't leave a woman near him. So if you go and visit, if you go to his house mistakenly with a woman, when you are leaving, say, please, if that guy calls you, don't answer. He's an idiot. He's a thief. He's a wicked soul. You just describe him. Do you get my point? That's his character. He speaks. That's on the negative side. On the positive side, listen to me, your face will radiate. That's how you witness for Christ. That's what I'm saying, that we need to preach to ourselves. We don't need to preach to the world. Right now, the epidemic we have in Christianity, we have to cure it. I think our evangelism now should be to other Christians. No, listen, we are not ready for the world yet. We need to talk to ourselves. As an example, let me take one. This is just an off example. Let me just give you as an example. If you are chasing the same thing the world is chasing, you can't preach to them. And that's part of the epidemic I'm talking about. We present the gospel as if, oh boy, you have tried stealing. It didn't favor you. Sinner, so. You've tried this one. It worked, it not work. Now come and try my God. In 12 months, you will have built a house in the village. See my car. In 6 months, you will have bought a car. Man, say, are you serious? Say, yes. What do I need to do? Just give your life to Christ now. Say after me, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, I come into my life. Fine, thank you. Say, now you sow a seed. Listen, as long as we are preaching that kind of gospel, we are misrepresenting Christ Jesus. And you see, you know the interesting part? We cannot preach another kind of gospel because that's what we believe. Listen, if we have the right perspective towards material things, people around us will soon know. If you have the right perspective, they can listen. It's not people who come and start saying sometimes that is it right to do this? What if they are doing this and none of that? Is it right? I said, listen, is this in Christianity, right and wrong answers are difficult to give sometimes. The baseline is, what is it that is motivating you? If you have a different motivation from the other people that you are describing, that is it right to join with them in this, you will find out that you don't need to ask that question. Let me give an example. There are some things that make a lot of money that people come and tell me about once in a while. So a friend of mine said, you have to join this. This thing, it makes money. Yeah, look, it was showing me checks. In a month, I make 900,000, 1 million naira. When he finished the talking, an average person will be enticed. All the perks, everything you will get. I told him, Oga, it's a pyramid scheme. I don't do pyramid schemes. If you like, let me bring checks for 1 billion. I told him straight, oh boy, this is a pyramid scheme. Banky does not do pyramid schemes. You know what's pyramid scheme? I register 6 more people. Eventually, I'm climbing up. And I'll get money at the end of the day. People say, is it right, is it wrong? I say, listen, it's quick money. Quick money is against my religion. I'm not interested. Like one of my friends said, at the bottom of the pyramid, there will be victims. I said, therefore, basically, it's a wrong thing. I am not interested. Now, I talk like this because, listen, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. So it's forbidden. I don't run after things. All you need to do is hang around me long enough. You will know. That's my attitude. Now, are you getting my point? Listen. When you get to that point, then you have something to draw people towards. It is wrong to make Christianity appear like a quick way to get what they want. Christianity is the way by which you stop chasing things, we start chasing God. Please, I hope you are following what I'm saying, all of these things. That's what I mean about the difference between witnesses and what? Preachers. All of us want to be preachers without being witnesses. We are not reflecting God properly. That's why I said, look, we don't need to preach to the world yet. We are not ready for them. We need to preach to ourselves. So, but what are you pursuing in life? What's your goal? What's driving you? What do you want to achieve? We need to rightly relate our own hearts to God first. Then naturally, people will know that we are different. They will know we are different. When everybody is rising up early, complain the whole day and going to bed late, and you do the same thing, you cannot be a witness of Christ to them. It's not possible. We make it look as if the only thing Christianity does is that he helps us get things. Let me tell you something. Sometimes what it does is for God to show his glory in the midst of your affliction first. That is, you attend, all of you don't have jobs. They all wake up morning, afternoon, and night whining and complaining and grumbling. But they notice that anytime they start complaining, you are full of thanksgiving. One day somebody will ask you, say, oh boy, come. What is it that gives you this kind of confidence? Somebody will ask. And listen, T.D. Jakes, once I watched his teaching, he was describing what it means to be more than a conqueror. He put two people side by side. Look, this man, everything's working out for him. Therefore, he's a conqueror. And you see, he's always rejoicing. They pointed to that person. He described another person and said, look at him. Everything is upside down. If this man can rejoice, then he's more than a conqueror. Are you getting my point? Because anybody will rejoice if things are going smooth. Sometimes the glory of God is that men are walking around in the furnace of fire and they are still rejoicing. That's what I meant when I said that, listen, your life is supposed to describe God. Are you getting my point? There is a God that takes a Joseph out of the prison into the palace. And then there is a God, the part of that same God, another part of him entirely, that takes Moses out of that same palace and takes him to the wilderness. Do you get the point I'm making? No, we cannot just present Christ Jesus as if he's a sweet, sweet, give me sweet, sweet thing, Christ Jesus alone. No, 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 we can't. We can't be his witnesses until we understand him properly. That's what I'm going to explain. Listen, I know we've been taught that we should just go out and go and preach, and I think it's good, it's important. But I like what Jesus said, and listen, always understand the Lord Jesus Christ. When he gave his commission, he wasn't giving them to young converts. I hope you know. When he gave those commissions, he was not giving them to young converts. He was talking to the likes of Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip. People who had been with him for the last few years. People he had taught. Are you getting my point? On top of that, he now told them, wait first. Before you go out, I will put something upon you. We make a mistake a lot of times. Tell, look, the young convert, for your faith to be firm, you must go out and go and declare. I don't think it's true. Paul disappeared for a long time. By the time he reappeared, he had so much revelation, God had to be shooking him on the side once in a while to keep him humble. Because of the abundance of revelations. He didn't just get up and start saying things he didn't understand. What am I saying? You cannot be an effective preacher until you are a true witness. And you cannot be a witness until you have stayed and you have drunk of that good word of God. And you have been transformed by it. Listen, once in a while I tell my wife, you know, maybe because she's Pastor Banky's wife, people say she come and preach. See, what do I say? I say, listen, when you get there, don't prepare a message. Just go and explain what you know. I say, just go and explain what you know. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. Just go and explain what you know. What you have come to understand. This is how I handle life. This is how my husband and I handle things because of what we have come to understand about the word of God. It's simple. What am I saying? When a man wants to preach, he just declares that which he knows. Stop repeating rehombonki. You ain't rehombonki, you don't have his anointing. You can annoy people by preaching like him. What he used to save millions, you will be using to angry thousands. You'll be angry thousands, you understand what I'm saying? That's why the only thing a young convert can say, like you know that man, after Jesus healed him, they were arguing and arguing. He said, listen, you guys can say what you like. One thing I know is that once I was blind, now I can see. As for the theology behind it, I have no understanding. Are you getting what I'm saying? Listen, that's why as a young convert, the only thing you can say to anybody is once I was a sinner, I don't sin anymore. Before, morning till night, now you go at the smoke. Now, morning till night, I go to school, I walk, I go for fellowship, I praise the Lord. If you see me before, I'm a real bad boy. Now, I'm a church boy. How it came to be, somebody preached to me and I believed. Do you want to believe too? I'm telling you, you know, let me just end now, right? I'm ending now, amen? I've closed this Bible, right? I'm good. I just want to tell you a story, all right? Make you laugh. There's this man, could you not tarry with me for 1 hour? He wrote that book. What's his name? Larry Lee. Larry Lee. Larry Lee was a son of a multimillionaire. He was confused totally about life. Then one day, he called his father. And after explaining all the problems of his life, confusion of his soul to his father answered him and said, any boy that has all the things you have and is still talking like this must be on drugs. Because he had everything. They were very rich. He had the nicest cars, the nicest apartments, and the best schools and everything. Let's make a long story short. The boy went crazy. Yeah, he went mental. Because of the confusions in his life. Finally, they checked him into a Catholic hospital, a Catholic psychiatric hospital. So there, they had these Bibles. So he started reading the Bible. In fact, one day, as he was going out, on the walls, there are crosses everywhere. And on top of it, they write, you know, there's this inscription on top of the head of Christ. So they put, in the way Catholics write it, so I-N-R-I. So he looked at it and read it as Inri. So he said, his name is, so he was packing all the crosses. And being a mental patient, they thought he was really out of order. So they were chasing him. So he carried all the crosses in the world and was running. And was shouting, his name is not Henry. His name is not Henry. His name is not Henry. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. Actually, what happened is that after he read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he got down on his knees and prayed a simple prayer. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. that that's all the prayer he prayed. After that, the Holy Spirit, that's what I'm telling you, you can't persuade anybody, you can't convert people. You can only witness and tell your story. That's all. The Holy Spirit now came into him and converted him there. From just reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now, this is a story about where I'm going. After, of course, they arrested him, arrested the crosses from his hands, and they put him back on his bed. They now discovered that the boy had gotten well, the young man had gotten well, after a while they discharged him. Then when they got home, he had a lot of friends who were in the same trouble, the kind of trouble he was in. They were in the same, some of them rock stars. In fact, he mentioned some names, big rock stars. So you call them, say, guys, you know what's going on? He said, man, I'm free. Free from what? All the problems. He said, how did you do it? He said, look, just get a Bible. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Once you finish, get on your knees and shout, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Do you know all his friends that obeyed it, all of them were saved. All of them were transformed. They would just read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. They will kneel down and say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And the Holy Spirit will actually come and transform them. That is that. Look, those are the kind of things I read. I said, no, 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 no. All this one of rehearsing Rehombunk is not necessary. It's not necessary. The man didn't, nobody preached anything to him. He just read Matthew. Look, of course, he wrote that the story. By that time, he was a pastor of a church of maybe like 10,000 people in America. He had this very famous book that time, Could You Not Tarry With Me For 1 Hour? All right? The book is still out there. The book was a bestseller. I listened to the teachings on it, my God. Fantastic teachings. That's when he wrote the story. It was a sane person. The confessions of life ran him mental. God delivered him when he read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And this is what I'm saying. He was a witness. And how did he preach? Just to his friends. Boys, you know, we're all in the same shoes. He said, yes. We're all doing these things, drugs and everything. He said, yes. He said, listen, oh, this is the way out. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. At the end, just shout the name of that Savior 3 times. And that's it. You're free. And as they were shouting it, one after the other, they were getting free. It's the Holy Spirit. I'm sure by the time I was telling the story, it was no longer converting people like that. He had changed the method to another one. But that's just the story I want to tell you about it. That's what it means to be a witness. We can talk about it next time. Let me just end with one statement. Listen, your life must reflect what you believe. It must reflect Christ Jesus. You cannot be a faithful Christian and be a useless worker. Please, that's an insult to Christianity. Let me tell you, they are paying you only 2,500 a month, yet you are working happily. That's the testimony. Every unbeliever can whine and grumble. I hope you know that. Every unbeliever can whine and grumble. When in the midst of all the afflictions, you don't whine, you don't grumble. It doesn't mean the money is a lot. That means you are happy with it. But you just know. And listen, let me not continue preaching. It's if you are persuaded. All this is not just about pretending. That's what I mean by you must first be converted. Know what Jesus said? Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to sift you all like wheat. But I've prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you are converted, that's when you'll be able to witness and strengthen your brethren. What have I said today? How can I witness effectively? How can I preach the gospel? First of all, I must be a real witness of that which I have heard, which I have seen, that which I beheld and my hands handled concerning the word of life. I hope you've gotten my point. All right, let's bow down our heads and just give the Lord thanks.